President Obama has declared, look, unless we fix what is broken in our current healthcare system, everybody's healthcare will be in jeopardy. Reform is not a luxury, it's a necessity. Today, we're talking to Kat Jeffcoat, director of the Lesbian Community Care Project, a program at Howard Brown, and co-chair of the National LGBTI Health Summit, a four-day conference in Chicago to build community networks and share vital ideas.
Listen as we talk about the hot news and trends that shape your world. Celebrity blogger Perez Hilton continues to be in the eye of a controversial storm with his very public fight with Will.i.am that escalated into verbal attacks and punches thrown.
Many people are applauding the physical violence against the blogger as if he deserved it because he ridicules celebrities and his outrageous persona.
But was the punch aimed to shut Perez up about Will.i.am's sexuality?
Does the public's enthusiasm for the violence set a terrible precedent where any media personality can get physically attacked for offending others?
Fabulous new blog, TopHotButches.com, celebrates the stone-hard butch women. Will there ever be a sexy sissy site for the gays?
A Mormon woman organizes a movement to soften the church's stance on gays.
The European Union begs people to please not eat your pet horse.
And sadly, tonight's show sidekick and ubiquitous spokesman Ed McMahon died at the age of 86. Thank you, Ed, for making it look so easy. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Please don't hit me. Today's show is brought to you by generous support of fabulous listeners like you.
We really can't do the show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffun.com, and make a donation. Buy a t-shirt.
Your financial support makes all the difference. Thank you.
Today's show is also brought to you in part by LifeLube.org, your sweet spot on the net.
LifeLube is your big tent guide to gay men's health, from sex and drugs to fairies and bears. Arrgh. It's your friendly concierge for all that's gay, sexy, and healthy.
LifeLube wants to know, how are you healthy? Go to LifeLube.org and tell them about it.
On today's Feast of Fun, we're talking to Kat Jeffcoat, director of the Lesbian Community Care Project, a program of Howard Brown. She's knee-deep in the healthcare stuff for all the gays. Kat is working with Feast of Fun's Jim Pickett to help make sure that reform with healthcare keeps the gay folks in mind by co-chairing the National LGBTI Health Summit, a four-day conference in Chicago that pulls together people to bring community, build it, and share ideas. An array of topics will be covered, from the aging of the Stonewall generation to new HIV prevention technologies, intimate partner violence, transgender healthcare, biphobia, body image, club drugs, anti-smoking initiatives, what vaginas want, sexual racism, bareback sex, yoga, qigong, meditation, and the kitchen sink. Welcome to Feast of Fun, Kat Jeffcoat.
Welcome. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Why what? So many things?
There are so many things that all of the letters want. And that's where we're going to come together and hash it all out.
Are you in danger of being a jack of all trades and master of none?
Well, I think that this is a grassroots group. So I think that there are going to be a lot of folks that work in different areas and are concerned about different areas. So one of the big challenges that we really want to work on at this summit is bringing folks together to have the L's talk to the G's and the B's talk to the T's and the I's talk to everybody, and really make sure that we're cross-pollinating, so to say.
So you're setting up all the sort of the queers on a blind double date.
Basically.
And that could be explosive, you know.
Well, and you know, that's my platform for gay marriage, is to get everybody.
You are my
to
baby mama. Right now, I'm working behind the scenes with Kat's wife or husband, to impregnate her.
No babies.
Yes, we are going to make a baby.
Celebrating
Isn't
Father's
Kat
Day
just lovely? She is lovely. She
does, get out of her womb. She doesn't want your sperm in her womb.
Kat and Feast I one the fun time out of my womb.
Feast of fun. You and I were drunk one night, and you were like, we would make beautiful children together. We were in a bar.
Really, eyes on that?
Yes. I think that was the first day I met you, actually.
Do you plan on having kids?
Oh, hell no. I'll have an abortion.
Listen to her when she's sober.
She's got the babies. So what did you do? What did you have for lunch today? You hung out with somebody and you had tacos, what you're saying?
Oh, I hung out with one of my LCCP fabulous advisory board members and I had two tacos. It was delightful.
Now, why did you change
and
it from
the... And she had a burrito, I'm just saying.
What kind of
tacos? What kind of taco? Don't
was
say
it. Chorizo or fish?
They were vegetarian.
Vegan, cruelty-free, family-friendly
with a little
tacos.
Bit of avocado.
Oh, but that's so nice.
So why did you change from Lesbian Cancer Community Cancer Project to Lesbian Community Care Project?
Because we wanted to work on more issues. We'd been working on more issues mm-hmm. than cancer for years, and okay. so we wanted the name to finally reflect it.
Oh, okay.
In the same way that, you know, it's called the Lesbian Community Care Project, but we care for more than just lesbians. We also care for bi folks, queer women, as well as trans folks. So, I mean, I think that it's, you know, care is the easiest thing to change because it's just a C. So working to make
sure
that we reflect.
So it's like Feast of Fools to Feast of Fun.
Exactly. Yeah.
Maybe you could change the L from lesbian to ladies. Ladies!
A lady.
A lot of ladies.
Yeah, I don't think that would go over very well.
It would go over really well with me,
really?
But I'm
just about the only one. I know a lot of women that hate the word lady. Yeah. They're just like, don't call me a lady. What is that?
Ladies is fun. It refers to Jerry Lewis. It's like saying ring-a-ding-dingers, you know? It's retro. It's hip. It's like Las Vegas.
Hello?
It'll never go out. Tacky will never be out of fashion.
It's true. It's true. Well, and we work around the state with getting uninsured women care, and a lot of the women downstate talk about ladies' health.
Ladies' health.
It's very proper.
Lady business. Now,
Lady business.
For,
exactly.
For the LGBTI summit, can we abbreviate that short? Can we just say the summit? The health summit.
Like Pizza Hut is no longer Pizza Hut.
It's just the hut.
The hut. Yeah.
So for the summit, you developed a program called What Vaginas Really Want. So
that's true.
What do vaginas really want?
They want a lot of love.
Besides having the Feast of Fools out of them.
Feast of Fun.
Yes.
You don't even know your own name.
Well, what I love, you know, we called it What Vaginas Want because, you know, it made it into the press release. Hello. Oh, yeah. But we know that we have to get people's attention to start talking about vaginas. But I think that it's more than that. It's about making sure that our vulvas are being taken care of, our labia majora, minora, all that kind of good stuff. And our cervixes, really.
It's
really about
our chuckle
cervixes.
When you say it, though.
Because it sounds like a constellation.
Yeah. It does. Jessica Halem told me that they're starting to not call it the labia majora minora. They're calling it the inner and outer or something like that because sometimes the minora is bigger than the majora.
Right.
And then they get snipped.
And especially in,
vaginoplasty.
You know, hello. Vaginoplasty and labioplasty is like totally on the rise. And a lot of it is because of, as porn gets, you know, way more popular mm-hmm. and way more mainstream with all of the access on the internet. Women are like, oh, I should look like that.
Now is that
so? It does become the menorah.
I would imagine most lesbians aren't getting that vaginoplasty. That it's more something that straight women do because they think like men will like it.
Well, yeah, totally. Especially like maybe after they've had a kid or whatever. Yeah, and they're like, you're down there anyways. Could you just clean it up? Yeah.
Let's start a rumor about some lesbian that we don't like and be like, yeah, you know, she had vaginoplasty because her lips were really big and that. Well,
and you know that
that'd be like the worst thing you could say about like a feminist lesbian is to be like,
totally.
You know, she had vaginoplasty.
Well, but what I love is that I feel like there would be 15 people that would pop up immediately and be like, oh no, I've totally done her. She has not had labioplasty or whatever. Like inevitably, right? It's like, oh no, I've been there.
Susie Orman's had vaginoplasty.
She has.
She talked about how to save money with it.
Oh really?
Yeah. If you're shopping for a vaginoplasty,
she did.
Doctor.
Really? That's the place where it's like, if you're gonna go for it, you want to go full.
She uses Oprah's. Vaginal plastic doctor.
She's like, you could do it yourself. Just go to Home Depot, get it written out. Do not perform vaginal.
Do not, young people at home, do not perform surgery on yourselves.
Put
no matter how much
down.
Medication or education you have. So you reach with Howard Brown. Let's stay on topic, guys.
Okay.
No, I mean, People want to know about farm. You've been talking about for 6 minutes about vaginas.
Okay.
To gay men.
So yeah. Vagioplasties aside.
Yes.
Yes. Just for temporarily. So at Howard Brown, I think that the other thing that we're really grappling with is trying to figure out in this world of healthcare reform and in a state where we can't get a freaking budget on the table.
Oh.
Yeah. And they're talking about they're throwing all of the most vulnerable communities under the bus, which we are one of them. I mean, we're trying to figure out how we can continue to serve just as many people, and we're getting more and more folks coming in the door and, you know, supplementing that so that we're not sinking the ship.
So President Obama today, he declared this morning or yesterday, look, unless we fix what is broken in our current healthcare system, everybody's healthcare will be in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. Reform is not a luxury. It's a necessity. And so, you know, I like it when he says things that are important to the show, because then we can get to quote him. But how is the fact that we're reforming healthcare? Why are queer folks getting pushed aside? Or what is the threat of queer folks being pushed aside in healthcare reform?
Well, I think that we've already been pushed aside. I think for the past 8 years, we've been pushed aside. We're not in most of the national surveys when they're collecting data on everybody, just kind of as they come through getting healthcare, wherever they get healthcare, you know, folks are in the back room collecting data on that. There is no LGBT question, you know, that is currently being asked. It happens on a state level in some different places, but there's no data collection happening on us. So we don't know necessarily what we know some of the big pieces about what we're grappling with, but we don't know how it affects other pieces of who we are. Like, we know, oh, maybe we have really high rates of HIV, but we don't know how that plays to and out of, you know, other things that we might be grappling with, like diabetes or whatever it is. And so thinking about how we fit into healthcare reform, we have to be named in research, and we have to be named.
So let's say I walk into a clinic, let's say somewhere in Ohio, and they're asking me all sorts of questions about my health and my stuff like that. They don't address sexuality in that.
Right.
So there's not like, do you have sex with men in that? Because I guess I'm so used to going to, like, you know, Howard Brown or something else or whatever for these kinds of tests, and they just always ask you, like, everything is just sex.
Totally. They're so, like, Glenn, what are you doing and what barriers are you using? Yeah.
But so as gay people, we're probably skewed thinking that our healthcare needs are met because this kind of situation, because we're asked these questions, but a typical person is not.
Well, yeah. And I think that it actually, there's the consumer experience of, if I live in Ohio and I go to, you know, the public clinic, or if I go to a Planned Parenthood, or even, you know, I have insurance and I go to a provider that way, and they ask me and they say, who are you having sex with? What kind of sex are you having? They ask all those questions. Those numbers, that stays with that provider. It doesn't become part of a larger, wider system. It doesn't get entered into, and it's because we don't have civil rights. You know, it's because I could get in Ohio, I could, you know, in Michigan for sure, I could get discriminated against. I could be refused services if I say that I am a lesbian, or, you know, that I, or if I say that I'm LGBT in any way. They have the right to do that.
Really? In Michigan?
Crazy. Yeah.
Home of the Michigan Women's Music Festival?
I know, right?
That's just crazy.
Next year, at the end of the festival, pick up pitchforks and torches and storm the Capitol.
Totally. With nothing but loincloths on, wolf leading the way. It'll be great.
Bare bosomed.
Well, there's a wonderful website, tophotbutches.com, started by Sinclair Sexsmith. Who's this guy?
Sinclair Sexsmith is a fabulous, fabulous blogger who runs the Sugar Butch Chronicles, which is a really fun, kinky, sex positive, slutty website that I love. And and in reaction to, so afterellen.com puts out this annual list of the top hot 100, you know, and it's like, and on the one hand, it's got, of course, the givens of, like, the Rachel Maddows and the Tina Fey.
Portia de Rossi.
So it has some out women, or it has some queer women, but then it's like the entire cast of The L Word, and, you know, and then all of these.
So you felt like the sort of the mainstream blogs take on creating those lists of 100 people we're most fascinated with was very driven by the public relations firms and advertisers and not really by what the actual readers are interested
in. Who's popular in your face. I mean,
yeah, you know. And I would also say, in terms of, like, what, and also a really traditional idea of what is attractive. And I would say not necessarily a very queer version of what's attractive. Mm-hmm. Because what I, you know, there were like three women on that list that I I think are really hot. I think they're all really gorgeous that are on that list, but, and I'd love to go shopping with them, but I wouldn't want to fuck them, you know?
Because you want somebody a little kind of butch.
There's some hard court, or as they say, stone hard butches in this list, and some of them look like my high school custodian. Like,
which are you talking about, the After Allen or
that
the
might have been a porn they were in.
Hotbutches.com.
Hotbutches.com.
Listen, no matter gay or straight, lesbian or bi or whatever, go to it and check it out. It's very entertaining.
But this is kind of like, I mean, these are the people that you do see in the community, and if you're into a butch woman, this is the kind of woman that you probably would find attractive. Yeah. But these are not the women that are on the top 100 list, because what you're saying, this top 100 list, is it mostly femmes?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all like the pretty, like the pretty ladies.
Yeah, well, and then like when they venture into butch, it's like it still is a photo of, it's still not, you know, Rachel Maddow wearing a tie. It still is, you know, more feminine photos of her. And there's a whole conversation happening on AfterEllen.com that kind of suggests that there's a lot of folks that are on that website that really like more feminine women. Mm-hmm. The other thing, though, about it is that I love about Top Hot Butches is that it's also way more racially diverse, age diverse, as well as size diversity.
And pretty diverse.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of idea of what's
pretty. Well, no, listen. How somebody is attracted to another person is a very, very, very complicated issue.
It's super subjective.
And so there's something, you might look at somebody and you're just like, that's just not somebody I'm very attracted to.
A face only a mother could love.
It's like, listen, you love their ability, you love their comedic timing, you love this, you love all that kind of stuff about them. And that's what makes a person sexy. It's that whole kind of package.
Well, and that's why I don't want to dog the After Ellen list. Oh, yeah, but I think that this is such an incredible reaction to it, and so fabulous. I was looking at it. I showed it to my partner last night, and so the masthead pops up immediately, and then the photos kind of start to fill in, and she sees the top, you know, top hot butches, and she's like, "Ooh, haircuts!" You know, that's what she thinks about.
Well, the other thing about this thing is that it really is. It's women that are gay, you know, or identify as trans, and the Ellen one is not women that identify as gay. So it's just, okay, these are women that lesbians find attractive. Some lesbians find attractive.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it also begins to talk about what does that queer gaze look like? You know, what does it mean for lesbians to name the top hot 100 or whatever? And then what does it mean for then a subsect to be like, okay, this is my gaze and this is what I find as attractive, which is completely subjective and complicated and way nuanced.
I'd like to see a gay list of gay men that gay men find attractive.
How about this? Let's flip that. Let's flip it around.
Great.
TopHotSissies.com. We could be V-Ska.
I got V-Ska, Chris Crocker, the VGL boys,
Michael Buckley.
Well, but the other thing that I love about the site is that it's really great portraits. You know, like it's really interesting photographs.
Were those photos taken specifically for this website?
I don't think so. I think they were just
gathered. Because most of these people are out entertainers and things like that. So they're wonderful.
Let's bring this sort of metaphor of gay world into the lesbian world. Do lesbians look down upon masculine or aggressive or rough looking people, you know, other lesbians or other butches or whatever they want to?
The haters
the way
do.
That gays do, the way that gay men look down upon
sissies.
Someone sissies or chubby guys or, you know, guys that are video blogging and crying and tears because they were assaulted.
Let's keep it to the sissies for this kind of thing, because it is about, you know, what's considered feminine and what's considered masculine. And so what is it? It's, you know, with gay men, everybody, you know, they make fun of the sissy, and the sissy is not necessarily the ideal. Not all of them, of course. What is it? How is it in the lesbian community when they look at that other spectrum of the masculine?
Well, I think that the haters do, of course. I mean, the folks that are like, oh, we're just like you straight people, and they just want to blend in, and they just want to, and they want to have the same fucked up notions that we all grow with, and not challenge
anything.
So
they're embarrassed by the the overly masculine
they're
guy,
totally,
or maybe the trans guy, and they're like, why does she just dress like a girl? I mean, come on, she's a girl. So they really say that kind of stuff. I don't know. I'm out of the loop.
Well, no, absolutely. And I mean, I think that we all are trying. I think it's the Pride Parade comment. Why do those drag queens have to get up there and dance like that? You know what I mean? And it's like, well, no, this is our entire community. We have to love and celebrate all of who we are. Otherwise, you know,
we're screwed.
We're selling ourselves out.
When the boat goes down, we all go down together.
Well, let's move on to sort of violence.
Okay.
And the fact that sometimes people that are part of our community or part of our lives, that sometimes we get frustrated with their actions and we want to see violent actions taken upon them. Read some of these comments from our site, from our website, say what it's about. Just I want people to think about these things. Take out the names. Just say this person.
Okay.
Just read one.
All right. Okay, so after watching the video, I could only laugh. I don't condone violence in any way, shape, or form, but what did he expect would happen if he called him a faggot? And I love the part where he says that they followed him to his hotel. So that goes on. And then,
well, they already done.
Okay, well, there you go.
Check out this one. This is like... Who does he think he is? Mm-hmm. He deserves to be punched in the face. Here's another one. I would have cold cocked him myself. Mm-hmm. He deserves it because he is being rude to people for no apparent reason.
I would have probably slapped him. I probably would not have slapped him, but punched him or kneed him in the groin or slapped him. I don't care who you are, but that's not okay. And had they both been regular peeps like you and me, no one would even be talking about it. So they're talking about Perez Hilton.
And Will.i.am. Yeah. So this, I think it was 2 days ago, right? So they were at the Canadian Music Awards. And Fergie went up to Perez and said, "Why you hating on my single, man? What's up?" Woo! While Josh Duhamel was drinking a cocktail somewhere far away and saying, "Where did my life go wrong?" And he's like, "What have I gotten myself into?" So Fergie's going up to Perez Hilton because he's a very popular blogger, and he wrote that he didn't like her single. And Fergie was trying to confront him and say, "Why don't you like my single?" And he said, "Look, I like some of your past songs. I didn't like that." And I guess the other members of the band, Black Eyed Peas, got involved, and they got into this sort of like confrontation where the lead singer, Will.i.am, this is all allegedly because this is he said, she said, he went up to Perez Hilton and was up in his face saying, "You disrespect me. You're hating on us." And they went outside and got into a screaming match. So this already escalated. Mm-hmm. And by this point, Perez Hilton said in his video blog that I was trying to think of something to piss him off. So I said, "You are a talentless faggot." F word.
You're not an artist.
You're not an artist.
You're a faggot.
You're a hack. You're no good.
No, he said faggot. He said you're a faggot. Those are his words.
That's what his words. Yes. And he also went to clarify what he was trying to say. Mm-hmm. So
he was trying to make him mad.
He was trying to make him mad by saying that he lacked talent and you are a faggot. And he was trying to maybe out him. Because this is a guy who makes a living. So the manager for the band Black Eyed Peas went and punched Perez Hilton. I guess yesterday the Canadian police have arrested the manager, according to right now. Let's see. So celebrities are going to their Twitter accounts and taking sides on this whole thing. Kirstie Alley, who's often ridiculed by the blogger for her fluctuating weight, stated who she stands by on the battle. "Perez in the future must only duke it out with lentils and leave the Black Eyed Peas to the big boys."
Who said that?
Kirstie Alley. Do you know who that is?
So crazy. Yes, I know from Cheers. Her weight goes up and down.
Yes.
Oprah paid for her kitchen to be remodeled.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So and then
what's going on there?
Josh Duhamel sleeping on the sofa, and then John Mayer said, "What you experienced the last 24 hours is a profound lack of control. You can't blog the world, my friend. People don't want to see you hurt. They want to see you experience something equalizing." Mm-hmm. So, and then the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation has come forward and said, "These vulgar anti-gay slurs that feed a climate of hatred and intolerance towards our community are harmful. For someone in our own community to use it to attack another person by saying it is the worst possible thing that a thug would ever want to hear is incredibly dangerous. It legitimizes the use of a slur that is often linked to violence against our community, and it sends a message that is okay to dehumanize people by exploiting anti-gay attitudes." So they're taking issue on the fact that Perez Hilton screamed faggot to Will.i.am. But what I'm taking issue with is, why doesn't Will.i.am issue a statement, say, hate speech, no matter whose it's intended to, is bad and it's wrong, and violence is wrong. Because right now, I don't feel very comfortable going to a Will.i.am or Black Eyed Peas in concert. Not even going seeing Fergie.
Because you think him saying this is kind of an endorsement of gay bashing?
Yeah. I think, you know, Will.i.am, if you go to look at his video blog, all he's doing is saying, I wasn't there, or I didn't do it.
He's not condoning. He's not, what's the word?
He's passing the buck.
He's passing the buck. He's trying to
wash his hands of the situation because it is explosive and it is bad publicity. Mm-hmm. And this is somebody who makes a living writing songs like Where Is the Love? And I asked Will.i.am and the people who are cheering stones being thrown at Perez Hilton, regardless of what he's done in the past, violence is not the answer. People are not for hitting, and children or childish attitudes are people too.
Perez is a human being. You shouldn't just beat somebody up just because he says something. And there's one person like Marson writes on, he goes, I'm sorry, but I disagree with Fausto Mark on this. I would be completely different story if Perez called him gay, but he used an offensive slur. Now, I'm not saying that it's fine and dandy to use violence, but I can understand someone responding violently to being called a faggot. I can say with 100% certainty that I wouldn't, depending on circumstances. So, you know, people say, what if he'd used the N-word instead? So I don't, you know, what if they'd called him the N-word?
Well, but I think that the fact that it's coming from Perez Hilton, yeah. I think that matters because I think he's inside community, right? Yeah. So he can say a word, you know, and he can toss a word around and he can be bitchy about it in this way that I don't think that somebody's outside of the community can. Right. So he couldn't use
I mean, he's a gay person. He identifies as a faggot. There's lots of people to do it. There's sometimes I use the word. I usually try not to, but I use it and say it myself.
Lee wrote, to characterize Hilton as simply a man who has a popular blog who simply demystifies celebrities is dismissive of the venom, vitriol, and racist garbage he spews forth on a regular basis. So people are saying that it's okay to physically assault someone because of what they write.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's not cool. I mean, I think, you know, it's worth challenging Perez Hilton on his blog and what he's talking about. And you know, it's not cool for him to rag on Kirstie Alley. That's an easy target, you know?
Right.
I mean, that is what he does, but that, like, celebrity is his gig, right?
It's hard
but,
to defend Perez because he makes a good living. He's successful by attacking these celebrities. And some of these celebrities can be really misanthropic, awful people.
Yeah.
And so part of it is that from our perspective, Mark and I, that we put together a show and we deal with publicists and deal with celebrities. And sometimes they're in our homes. Sometimes I really appreciate being able to have the celebrity on the phone because once the interview's over, you hang up and they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're in your home, sometimes it's like, oh my God, please get this crazy person out of my house. You know, so part of me is like, demystify these people because they're crazy Scientologists.
The other thing, though, too, is like what you have to understand is like about this whole vilification of these celebrities or the vitriol that he's spewing towards them and stuff like that. Part of this is this whole game of what it is to be a celebrity. You know, their publicists feed that kind of stuff to Perez. They're like, oh, look, there's an unflattering photo of her because they want to have that press. They want to have that kind of stuff, but they play the game. And it's like you have to look beyond that veil of celebrity and figure out what exactly is going on behind the scenes.
I don't think any publicist wants their client's album to be panned negatively.
Not that necessarily. But like, look at Kathy Griffin. She was trying to be like, you know, show me as being fat so I can lose weight so we can have this whole thing and this whole tabloid kind of stuff. So they do love this kind of stuff.
And people like to feel superior to celebrities.
Regardless, I don't think the reactions on the forum are really.
And these are.
These are gay people.
That's really scary.
And you know what? I have to say these are very kind compared to things on other blogs.
Wow.
I have to say, you know, for the most part, our listeners, the people that you know, are part of the community forums, they really get a lot of these tough issues and they have their mind wrapped around it. You know, I've gone to some of these other blogs and like just the hatred towards this person is just profound. And I'm thinking, what gets you so worked up about this person? You know what I mean?
Right, absolutely.
That you're so... You hate this person so much. What are you spending all day on his site? You know, are you obsessed with this person?
Well, a lot of these people that's are admitting really that they spend all their time on the site and then they hate him for it. And I'm like, look, you're being entertained by this guy's work. If you really don't like Perez Hilton or anybody, you know, don't buy their music, mm-hmm. don't watch their TV mm-hmm. shows, don't visit their website.
Well, yeah. It's crazy that this all got kicked up mm-hmm. by the fact that he was honest about not liking a single. You yeah. know what I mean? Like, that's when, especially when, you know, if they have all of these publicists working it, and I'm sure that, you know, Fergie has mm-hmm. five different publicists calling
sure
him up and placing the photos on mm-hmm. his website and all this kind of good stuff. And it's like, he was finally honest. And so then what does that mean about this kind of culture of celebrity that, and the veils of what is reality?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's hard to say. I don't know what to say to that, Kat. It seems like, because of the truth and him saying the truth, that it escalates to this. And, you know, it's these people trying to silence a gay voice. And I guess you're right. And that is, I have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. I really
leave
do.
Leave it to Perez Hilton. Uh-huh. He, for the last couple of months, he's been in the eye of the storm with Carrie Prejean and same-sex marriage equality in California. Mm-hmm. Then it was moving on to unprotected sex and celebrities and our mm-hmm. role models with posting the pictures of Dustin Lance Black and Dustin Lance Black's lawyers suing bloggers for blogging about it. And then now it's with Black Eyed Peas and with will.i.am and their manager and with violence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, personally, no one's saying this, you know, Perez and will.i.am, take some time off, go on vacation, get a massage.
Right. Well, there's one other issue that I want to bring up and stuff. And if you're a person and you're out there and you're writing things on the forum and you're advocating violence, and I ask this to the people on the forums too, if you're one of those people that says like he deserves to be hit or what did he expect? He had it coming. I want to know if you're in a long-term relationship. Because I suspect you're probably not. Or, and if you are, you're probably in an abusive relationship and you probably need to get some help. Because there's going to be a day when you're looking at your husband and you're going to have that same kind of feeling as like listen, I could take a gun out right now and kill you or shoot you, beat you up, you know, that kind of thing. Because that's the kind of emotion that you have. That kind of like impulse is, and so I wonder, ask yourself this, is your saying that you want to see Perez Hilton being beaten, how is that blocking relationships in your own life? Because I know there's a couple of people on the forums, they don't have long-term relationships and they want them and they wonder why they don't have them. And maybe that's where you first need to look. How do you treat people?
But, you know, there's nothing wrong with being single either.
No, there's nothing wrong with being single, but if you're complaining you don't have a boyfriend.
Well, and I think that...
Then that's something different.
There's an accountability okay. piece that I think is behind that, okay. too, around, like, thinking about, you know, my partner does shit all the time that I don't like,
right.
and I do shit all the time that she doesn't like, but, and so it's this piece of, like, having to go back and to be accountable mm-hmm. to that person in a way that we don't have to be accountable to Perez Hilton.
Right.
You know, and he is publicly accountable.
Right.
I mean, he hears this shit all throughout the day on his blogs and all this kind of good stuff. So, I mean, he puts it out there. But that said, I don't think that means that incites violence. Like, that's just
it's of no consequence to somebody to say, I would like to see Perez Hilton not only be right. abused, but actually assassinated. or you know, they want that, as much violence.
Which is, assassination okay. is a political killing, which I love that you just gave him that.
Well, it is sort of political here
yeah.
because he is putting himself out in the public mm-hmm. eye and criticizing or ridiculing people for all sorts of a wide variety of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And he's making a living at it. And when you sort of are laughing at somebody who, you know, if Kirstie Alley does not want people laughing at her fluctuations in weight, go get involved in a different industry. Perez Hilton never mm-hmm. attacks mm-hmm. the secretary. He never attacks people in his family. He doesn't attack people he slept with. He doesn't ridicule people that are not celebrities.
Mm-hmm. And Kirstie Alley, she makes a ton of money off of like whether she's fat or skinny.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's one of those kinds of things. But go back. So you say there's no consequence to these people like saying this kind of thing. Do you think, though, that they carry that kind of same attitude in their own life, though?
Not at all.
So you don't think that they're like them?
I would hope not. That's the world that I want to live in.
But I mean, if they're writing something.
But I think you're right, yeah.
But do you think that kind of, if that kind of, maybe it's a shadow belief and stuff like that. And I don't know, if somebody does something wrong in their life, maybe they do hit them. I don't know.
Well, and I mean, I hear what you're saying around like
right.
we kind of create what we mm-hmm. want to, we create and perpetuate what we want. And if this is the kind of shit that you're like, well, of course he deserves it. Then it's like, well, okay, then what's going on in your life?
Right.
Well, what kind of life are you creating?
Once again, this exposes our sort of our lazy attitudes with examining and defending violence inside our own communities. And when we see couples fighting and assaulting each other, punching each other in the face, we go, well, he had it coming.
Yeah.
And you know,
do we see that though? Is that normal though in real life?
Like I have to say,
if your friend comes to you and say, my husband beat you, do you say, well, you probably had it coming?
Well, and I think that that's the piece around the translating it into violence is it doesn't matter how many times I fight with my partner, I still remember why I love her, and she remembers why she loves me, and we work it out. And we don't work it out through punches. We don't work it out through manipulation. We don't work it out through, you know, fucked up sexual shit that's not fully consensual.
Consensual, filled with love.
Filled with love.
So you're saying community violence versus celebrity violence that may not affect us locally.
Well, I mean, I think it's a lot easier to poke holes at these people that do put all of their shit out there and say that it doesn't have, you know, that maybe doesn't have a relationship with us, but that by condoning it, by saying, oh, well, this person had it coming, we're saying that it's okay. On a local level, on an intimate, like, body level, you know, that it's okay. And I mean, there have been definitely times when I've been in a bar and, you know, been at Stargaze and, you know, somebody pops a bottle and all of a sudden there's a fight happening.
Do they really pop bottles there? Have you actually seen that?
It's happened once or twice.
Wow. I thought that only happened in the movies.
It's true. It also happens at the local lesbian bar.
Wow.
I say things that might offend. Mark and I and our guests say things on this program that's listened to thousands of people every week that offends them. And I would like the listeners to take a moment and reflect upon the fact that just because something someone said on the internet upset you, and awful, horrible things have been said about us on other people's video blogs and YouTube videos that make me lose sleep at night. But I would never want anybody to go punch them in the face or attack them or assassinate them. Or kill them or whatever. You know, it's like, I think that violence is deplorable, and I express concern for the person that hates on me. And will I am, if you really are about the love and about bridging the gap and reaching out, same to Perez. Where is the love? Fix it. Where is the love?
That's right. Where is the love?
Where is the love? You know, what does the lyrics say? I wanted people to write alternative lyrics.
You were trying to outsource that.
I was trying to outsource that.
We'll do that sometimes. Like, change the lyrics.
Let's read some of these. Okay. Jonas Astrum, he wrote. Oh, he thought it was a song by Celine Dion.
Yeah. Nobody got it.
Oh, God.
So here's some of the lyrics. This is actual Will.i.am's own words. What's wrong with the world, mama? People living like they ain't got no mamas. I think the whole world is addicted to the drama, only attracted to things that'll bring you trauma. Overseas, yeah, we try to stop terrorism, but we got terrorists living right here in the USA. The CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK and Perez Hilton and me. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate, and discriminate only generates hate. And when you hate, you are bound to get irate. So learn from your own goddamn lyrics, Will.i.am. Where
Physician
is the
heal
love?
Thyself.
Physician,
listen.
Heal thyself.
So I want to do a call out to anybody in Australia, because there was a Australian football player. They have, you know, they play rugby down there, but they call it like Aussie rules football. And he was behind one of his mates who was getting interviewed, and he pulled out his penis.
What?
He pulled out his penis. So I don't know if it actually made it onto the news or not, but there's pictures of it censored all over the internet. I want the video.
Wait, rewind here. So it was a hot rugby player.
It was a hot rugby player. He's getting interviewed. Well, his teammate is in the background, and he's exposing himself. Now, I'm usually not for people just like randomly exposing themselves, but hot rugby player, you know?
It's called sexual harassment when the
person's ugly.
But when the person's hot, Brad Pitt will never be sued for sexual harassment.
That's true.
And so
unless you're not attracted to guys, but you know, yeah. It's like.
And so that teenager who had all those stars put on her face, she had 56 stars on her face. She said that she fell asleep during the treatment. And she only wanted 3. Now has fessed up, and that she said that she lied about it because she didn't want her father to get angry at her for getting 56 goddamn stars tattooed
on her face.
And she looks like your sister Talia.
She looks That's like crazy. I know quite a few, and maybe you know. Kat, you can weigh in on this. Yeah. What is it about certain groups of lesbians that like to get really extreme wild tattoos and piercings that are, they're stuck with it for life?
It's true.
My sister got, you know, I hate, poor Talia, you know, I'm sorry. She's not hearing this, but she probably will. You know, she's got all sorts of wild piercings and tattoos all over her. Fortunately, they're not in her face, but for a while she did contemplate getting some on her face. This is somebody.
She had her tongue pierced.
She had her tongue pierced. And when she showed my mother, she had 2 piercings in her tongue.
Dang.
Because one wasn't enough. And she showed it to my mom, and my mother started crying.
What did I do wrong?
What did I do wrong? And what is it about certain, you know.
Wait a second. She's gay and she's worried about the tongue piercing? Yeah. I love it. Okay.
Well, it's just because
gay is just a phase for
tongue. And I want every gay person, lesbian person, or trans person, or bisexual person that's listening to the show to think about, just stop for a second and say, am I getting this piercing and this tattoo because I like tattoos, because I like piercings, or because I somehow feel like I am not good enough and I'm not more valuable enough, and therefore by getting this extreme modification, it'll make me somebody.
And maybe Perez Hilton will be blogging about me tomorrow. I don't know.
I mean, it's like I see some queer people. They're gorgeous. You're beautiful, perfect the way you are. And then I see them like take a needle and shove it through their face. And we've had some friends and some listeners. Yeah. And you know, if this applies to you, I've probably thought it when I saw you.
Oh, don't say that.
Well, I'm just as a person, I'm concerned and I'm asking, maybe I'm not getting it. Maybe I'm misunderstanding. Maybe I have it all wrong. But could you contemplate, before you get 48, 58 stars on your face, that maybe there's something missing in your life? Maybe there's a self-esteem issue here.
Maybe some people enjoy the process of getting a tattoo. They enjoy that little needle digging into their skin and stuff like that. And they go into like a very, it's like a meditative state. And then they have this, you know, for some people, a very beautiful ornament afterwards.
And some people have Taz, you know?
But I think both of you guys.
Tasmanian devil.
And people can't see their expressions on Mark and Kat's faces right now when we're talking about this. But you guys are not sharing your opinions on this.
Well, listen, there's some people that do really outrageous tattoos. And I'm just like, what the fuck are you thinking? Like, why are you so goddamn crazy? And there's other people, okay, so you have like, you know, your nose pierced, big deal, or whatever, you got your tongue pierced. I wouldn't do it, but if that's your thing, whatever.
Do you have any tattoos, Kat?
I do.
What's your tattoo?
What do you have?
I actually have a tattoo on my stomach, but
let's see. Can you lift your shirt up?
No.
Oh, come on.
I need to get it fixed, and that's the whole thing with it.
Oh, it has your ex-girlfriend's name on it.
It doesn't. No. It's just really crappily written text. That I'm gonna get fixed, and I'm gonna get it turned into a really cool tree.
But you don't want me to see it because of why? Because you're embarrassed about the tattoo?
Yeah, totally embarrassed.
Really?
And then I also have a jail tattoo. Well, not really
a
jail.
What?
Not really a jail, but like, you know, the like one that was done.
Tattoo,
yeah, done like done with a needle. Hand.
Oh, like you were a friend teenager of mine did. Yeah, and you were high.
So is a tattoo?
Were you there? Yeah,
I think I was.
Absolutely.
Is a tattoo a rite of passage for young queer people, and is this something that should be examined?
For me, it was about being young in punk rock. You know what I mean? So like, and I knew folks that had all kinds of crazy piercings, and it was related to being part of the punk rock community and, you know, nihilistic and all that kind of good stuff that was
modern
like
primitives.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, I mean, I think that there's tie-ins with the kink community and how they like how pleasure and pain play into each other. And, you know,
but you temporary. Know what? If you're getting smacked and whipped, even punched in the face by the Black Eyed Peas
become
manager.
Become a celebrity blogger.
Well, become a celebrity
really
blogger.
Really, just kinky.
But yes. Even those maybe the emotional wounds may not heal, but the physical wounds heal. But when you get pierced and you get tattooed, that wound is there for good.
Yeah.
At least until you get, you know, plastic surgery or laser. And sometimes I'm like, you know, let's examine these rites of passage. Let's examine why we're doing these things. Yeah.
Maybe they should be blowing me instead.
So that's
always a good answer.
You know, this is a question that some other podcasts like to ask their guests is like, talk about your first computer, which is so geeky. Steve Jobs is back working at Apple.
With a brand new liver.
With a brand new liver that he probably got from somebody who died, I guess. Right.
Where do you get a liver?
He got it in Silicon Valley. It's a cyborg.
Does he
have a condition?
Yeah, he had some kind of condition. He had a secret liver transplant. Like they just said he was taking time off from work and they had a liver transplant. And now 2 months later, he's healthy and they're like, he's got a new liver. Well, because the thing about a liver that's wonderful, I'm gonna just say this very quickly, is like you can get like a baby liver, and like livers will grow very, very quickly to accommodate your body.
I don't think anybody's getting a baby liver transplant, Mark.
No, well, like let's say a baby
it's like a monkey heart.
Well, like listen, if a baby dies, or you can get like a child's liver and stuff like that. It'll, like you can't get a child's heart, obviously, but you can get a liver because livers grow very fast. I want to even say,
and they also replenish themselves sometimes.
Yeah, so you can get like a
they're like starfish.
I think you can even get a portion of a liver or something like that.
Yeah, because they rebuild themselves. Yes, I mean, that's why we can pickle the shit out of them and they just keep coming back.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know about that.
But then you get cirrhosis and like
they
liver.
They said that if long-term toxic effects from a consumption of high levels of high fructose corn syrup lead to liver failure.
Well, there you go.
Did Michael Pollan say that? Alice Waters?
It's part of the... well, you can read about it online and come to your own conclusions. Mm-hmm. But Steve Jobs is back at Apple. And of course, today they rejected the Commodore 64 virtual application.
What did it even do?
For the iPhone. Well, the cool thing is that you could run like games and things from the past, from your teenage years.
Oh.
Back when the Commodore 64 or the Texas Instruments was the only personal computers people could
have. I bet you half our listeners don't even know what a Commodore 64
but
is.
But the other ones are like, I remember that Commodore. It was the best computer ever.
What?
I used to go over to friends' houses to play it. Yeah.
What do you remember about your Texas Instruments computer?
Well, it plugged into the TV, which was really nice.
So it was like watching TV.
It was like watching TV. I mean, it was like having a Nintendo machine. That's kind of what we used it for, or whatever.
You played video games with it, but the games were more sophisticated. They were kind of action adventure. And
They were like Frogger. It was like, kunk, kunk,
Pong.
Kunk, kunk.
Ding,
exactly.
Ding.
Burger Time was a big one. Like when you knew you'd made it when you had Burger Time.
Did you ever write high school papers with your computer? Did you have a word processor? Because we had Bank Street Writer. Mm-hmm. Shout out to whoever. This saved my sanity. And so I would type my papers and print them out in those like
5 hours. 5 hours, you'd come back and it would be printed out the 2 pages.
It would take about a good half an hour for an 8-page paper.
Really?
Yeah, because it's slow. It was like needles pushing on paper with an ink ribbon behind it.
Yeah, and if it got jammed, you were screwed because then you had to reset
start all
everything.
Over again. Yeah, but that's why the paper had those holes on the side.
Do they even make that kind of paper anymore?
I'm sure somewhere.
Yeah.
You know what? I think
they're
do.
Good for checks.
I think it's related to finance because I feel like the state of Illinois probably uses it.
You get out of the State Department, the state building
the state
down there.
Department.
I am hating on the state right now.
I'm sure.
We'll get to that in a second. So,
but I love you because you give me money.
But it's sort of like it was nice because you were able to write papers and copy and paste and move sections around. And, you know,
before it was whiteout and typewriters.
Mm-hmm.
And it would get me from a B to an A.
Mm-hmm.
So other students would handwrite and their hands would be crippled the next day. And I would just like at 10 p.m. at night, the next day, just type my paper out, you know. And people would hate me. They absolutely. Well, you used a word processor, didn't you?
Not until college, no.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The Bank Street Writer, I had to take a class on how to use it. And I was just like, oh, wow, it'll change spelling? Wow.
It was great. It had spelling correction way back then. So
and
we salute you.
And copy stuff. You're like, wow.
I'm kind of sad. It's like, you know, it would be nice to have the Commodore 64 and the iPhone. Apple.
And he said no because why? Because
he's hating.
He's got a new liver. He should be happy.
Happy. Celebrate. Don't hate.
Well,
celebrate.
I'm excited to see Sharon and Christina Aguilera are going to be in a movie together called Burlesque. So it's a contemporary musical.
Huh.
And so Christina's going to play a small town Iowa girl who comes to Sunset Boulevard in L.A. and to work in a club that's run by Cher. So Cher's going to sing in it, too. This is her first movie since Tea with Mussolini.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So she's
and it's set in modern day?
It's set in modern day,
So she's like part of the Pussycat Dolls or something?
Yes, I don't know. They call it a neo-burlesque club
Sunset
Boulevard.
I'm wondering if they're going to use special effects to make Cher's face look normal.
what would they do? Refracting lenses
or
something?
I don't know, because, you know, she's had a lot of work done, and it's just, it's she's soft getting to focus. That Michael Jackson level or Jocelyn Wildenstein where your face just looks just unnerved. It looks painful to look at.
Well, maybe what they'll do is they'll make her look like a soap opera. You know, it'll be that soft focus mm-hmm. every time they go to her.
Right.
It'll be a close-up.
Like Moonstruck. With, what was her name? The actress in Moonstruck.
Cher.
I'm sorry, not Moonstruck. It was Moonlighting with Bruce Willis and
Cybill Shepherd.
Cybill Shepherd. Yeah. Every time they cut to Cybill Shepherd, she looks like she was in some softcore porn. It's called instant sex. You blur, you Photoshop geeks out there, you blur the layer, then set it to overlay or soft mm-hmm. light, and you instantly you're a porn star. Meanwhile, the European Union is begging people of who own horses, pet horses, not to eat them. What is this, China? Apologies to Chinese people everywhere.
No, in France, they eat a lot of like horse meat is very popular. And I know some people that are just like, you know what? Horse meat tastes better than beef.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they have to tenderize it or?
I don't know what they do. I think they
I always
like
think of
steaks
it as gamey,
and stuff like
you know?
That.
It's such a common thing that they're having problems because veterinarian drugs are entering human populations and diets.
Oh, ooh. So it's similar to like the hormones in the beef.
Yes, exactly. And it's so common to eat horses, I guess, in some parts of Europe mm-hmm. that the European Union is trying to pass legislation to ban the eating of pet horses.
So does that mean it's happening in like Eastern Europe or?
It's happening everywhere.
Like, Western Europe. Like so, Italians eat horse meat. The French eat horse meat. So I don't know. I
little Mr. Ed for dinner.
I liked the days when lesbians liked horses and that was that.
That was barebacking, baby.
What is up with chicks and horses?
Women.
Will you explain that to me? Like
I wish
teenage
I
girls, like you know,
oh yeah,
you know
sure.
your daughter might be gay if she likes horses.
Listen, straight women like horses too. I'd say just as much as lesbians. Too.
I'd say that's more of a WASPy thing than
it's
anything.
A WASP thing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I grew up. And like one of my dear friends, her mother loved horses, you know, and it was all like part of like her family. Mm-hmm. And
why do chicks want ponies? What is up with that?
Because it's a pony.
Is it a riding
cute.
Something? Is it an instinctual, like, sexual
they
thing?
They want something between their legs. No, I don't
something
know.
Something to hump?
Well, they say a lot of girls do have, like, a lot of girls do have their first orgasm riding horses.
I want to know. Sound stuff.
Well, because, look, it's culture
or,
and it's tradition. Yeah. And it's, mm-hmm. you know, you grow up with these kinds of things. And, you know, your mom likes to horse ride. So she takes you horse riding and you bond over that kind of stuff. And next thing you know, you have that. And, you know, it's also, it has to do with, like, you know, like she said, it's a WASPy thing. So it's all about class. So mm-hmm. if you're middle class, you might want to have horses so you're perceived to be like more affluent
right.
that
because
kind
that's
of stuff.
All, well because that's always like because you know growing up in Texas there was like if you had a horse on a ranch mm-hmm. that was like one thing
right.
but then there was like English riding which
yes.
had a costume involved
right.
and
that's
you know
like
so
drag.
That's yeah
you're from
and,
Texas
mm-hmm.
where are you from
Dallas
oh okay
she's a Dallas dyke
oh.
I'm a Dallas dyke yeah I moved when I was 13 so
okay
so people in there you know movies like or musicals like Sweeney Todd mm-hmm. reveal that eating weird meats is long part of European tradition.
That's what other weird meats?
Well, you know what Sweeney Todd's all about, right?
Yeah, that's
eating
true.
People.
It's people.
What kind of people?
The pies are people.
Have a little priest.
It's horses. Yeah, nobody can. Sweeney Todd is the musical. No one can sing.
That's not true. There's some people that can sing.
You can walk up to anybody.
Do you have to be
like,
able to sing yeah. it?
I don't know.
It's just it's weird melodies, and they don't kind of go anywhere, and they're kind of atonal in some parts. And so, it's a great musical.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong, people, but it's not.
Don't write letters.
It's not easy to sing. It's not like we are jellicle cats and jellicles too.
Shut you know? Up.
Like cats. Yeah. The greatest
did you like
music.
Cats? I mean, growing up and your name being Cat, was it difficult?
Yeah. Well, growing up, my you know
you were Kathy.
I was Catherine.
Oh, you were Catherine.
She has a C-A-T, not a K-A-T.
Yeah, but I do remember being in fourth grade and going to see Cats, and it was the first musical I saw. And
you're like, it was written for me.
I know. Cat. I was like, I love this.
Did you like it?
So why Cat,
I
not
did,
Kitty?
But actually, because
this is
my
Mark's mom's name, by the way.
It's good. My mother's name was Kath. It's
well,
Catherine. So,
well, actually, one of my great-grandmothers, her nickname was Kitty.
Okay.
So, like, it's a Southern tradition, right?
Okay.
So you've got your given name and then you've got your nickname. Uh-huh. And so my nickname is Cat. My mom's nickname is Candy. My grandmother's nickname was Cappy. My great-grandmother's nickname was Kitty. There's also, but like none of it was like Kathy or Kate.
Okay.
Weird. John and Kate plus eight is minus John now.
I know.
I saw that on the front of the newspaper.
Isn't it tragic that that's the front of the newspaper?
Somebody said that like the mom should get together with the Octo Mom and they should have a reality TV show together too. That'd be 20 kids altogether. Because she has, Octomom has already had six 16. Kids. She had six kids, then she had eight. So that's 14.
They could put on.
Oh, no, it's 22. Wait,
24 a kids.
Rendition
total.
Of Cats. You know, they or could. Like Sweeney Todd, and they could have another, they could have a basketball game and going in the other room.
Right.
It's pretty wild, you know, and meanwhile, us as queer couples can barely get married.
No.
Or even adopt kids.
Or even convince a lesbian to have your child.
Well, the discussion between Kat and I having a child together has ended. Now I'm moving to the manipulating her partner.
which you'll get much farther with.
Well, actually, your partner manipulating me more than
totally.
Me manipulating.
She's like, I want
She's like, Fausta will be, because I have had a couple of lesbians who wanted to have my kids. Or me to be their baby's daddy.
Think about it, or?
Absolutely, seriously, think about it. Yeah, and it was like, it got to this point, I was like, well, you know, if I'm going to be a father with anybody and have a kid, it's like, I want to have somebody who's cool, easygoing like me.
Mm-hmm.
And because I don't want to be, you know, involved in some kid's life. And the mother's like, we're going to do this now.
Really uptight.
This is kind of way this way. You know, it's like, I want somebody who's, you know, I can negotiate with or be relaxed. Mm-hmm.
You wanted to also be in the kid's life. It sounds like you didn't.
Absolutely.
Just
want to. Absolutely, I wouldn't be like Steve Tyler that, you know, 20 years later, like pose for publicity photos with my hot kid or hot girl, you know, because, you know, the kid's going to be good looking.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
So
and terribly talented.
Absolutely.
Because of the mother's genes.
Stunning.
So why did you decide not to do it?
It didn't work out with my schedule.
That's the kind of dad he would be.
I'm sorry, it didn't fit in my school. Well, this is what it was. She called me on the phone and she was like, you got to come down because we weren't in the same state. I'm ovulating now. You got to come down to the state. Give me your sperm now. And I'm like, girl, I got work to do this weekend. You know, I can't just jump on a plane.
Mm.
And then she got pissed off about that. And then
it was like a plane ride away. It wasn't like, you know.
Yeah, so it wasn't me going down.
It wasn't
and
over
rub
at the coffee
out.
Studio.
No,
yeah.
No, because, you know, it's like, I don't care.
So she picked up a sailor instead.
They actually chose not to have a kid.
Oh, really?
For now. They deferred that dream.
Oh.
It's not denied. It's just deferred.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Meanwhile, the Mormon church.
I thought you were going to say, no, they broke up. Because, I mean, that...
No, it happens a lot,
I'm just saying.
Oh, you
it
think
happens.
that same-sex couples have kids just like straight
in
couples
same,
to stay together?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
in the same,
nice.
Totally. In the same way that they get married.
Remember, people, that today's show is brought to you by generous support of fabulous listeners like you. We couldn't do it without your help.
So please visit our website, feastoffun.com, make a donation, buy a t-shirt. And today's show was also sponsored in part by lifelube.org, your sweet spot on the net. Subscribe via email or reader and never miss a sticky post. Gay, sexy, healthy, hit the sweet spot, lifelube.org.
Yes, also, where the love reigns supreme.
Speaking
you
of
know,
the
that's
love-
the one blog... Mm-hmm. That Dustin Lance Black's lawyers weren't able to successfully take down pictures.
Well, because they don't know it's there. That's
well, now
why.
I'm spilling the beans, but poor Jim. He's going to get a letter.
You too.
Well,
you
I don't think they...
He's out of town.
The lawyers are pretty busy people, and I don't think they watch television or listen to podcasts or do much of anything.
So they won't know.
Except do Google searches.
And
So people, keep the secret.
So speaking about the love and getting, you know, and mending things together, you always have to make room for reconciliation. And there's a woman who started a website for LDSapology.org, and she's hoping to bridge that gap between the gays and the Mormon church. And so she's trying to get people to sign up for this petition. So if you're gay and you're Mormon or you're Mormon, sign up for LDSapology.org and see if we can bring some reconciliation and get these crazy Mormons off our back.
Maybe Dustin Lance Black can sign up for that.
Yeah, maybe he should.
He's a Mormon and gay.
Oh, yeah.
If he's not too busy.
He was raised Mormon.
Doing
Don't say it.
Suing people.
Don't go there. You need to let that go.
You know,
Let it go.
I'm blacklisted from him.
Let it go.
You know, for 10 years.
It's okay.
We can't go on.
Look, I'm okay. You're okay. He's okay. We're all going to be fine.
Absolutely, I agree.
I'm channeling his mother. She loves to say that. But you know what really works? If you have somebody mad at you, you see him, just be like, you're okay, I'm okay, and we're going to be fine.
I also want to do a shout out.
I think this is great.
Things. But, yes. You know, the best way to reconcile your church's stance on your stance on gays is to embrace them.
Yeah.
And say we are for marriage equality.
Well, it's baby steps and you have to get there, so...
What baby steps is involved with somebody who spends all their time and money and energy trying to shut you down and shut down your rights? That's not called reconciliation.
Chip away, that's called assholism.
Chip,
I know. Okay, let's.
They suffer from
asshole
pills.
That should be diagnosable. Yeah.
You were talking about before when we started the show that a lot of why do people need to reconcile their sexuality?
It's reconcile.
I mean, there's this part. With all of these like traditional churches that are so behind the times in general, it's like, really, why do you want, what is it about becoming part of a institution that is on the way to irrelevancy, that's really going
to...
Well,
you say it's on the way to irrelevancy, but there's a lot of people that, listen, religion's been around.
Well, no, religion has been around, definitely. And it gives us meaning, and we need this. Faith is a good thing. Okay. Like, faith in the unknown, faith in each other, seeing the divinity in each other, shadanana.
Seeing the goddess inside your yoni.
Hello, namaste. In my yoni?
Mm. I think it's important, though, to, as Betty Friedan said, the feminine mystique is to demystify the human body, whether it's male or female. And sometimes within our own community, we tend to turn sexual acts and our bodies as icons and mystify them because we're so used to being ridiculed and hated and defiled.
Well, and it's like, why would you keep going back to the bully that keeps hating on you and saying, please accept me, please accept me, please accept me. You know what I mean?
Because it's part of their tradition, it's part of their family, and it's what they've grown up with, it's what they love.
And maybe it's because they make a living off of it, like Perez Hilton.
So what are you going to do? But
I want to do a shout out to Perez Hilton and bloggers out there and podcasters and YouTubers and people in new media who unapologetically... Mm-hmm. Put themselves out there day after day and say things that may not be popular, make mistakes, and offend people and raise questions.
Yes.
You know, and because I think they are
your voice. They're the voice. Us all. Mm-hmm.
Your voice strengthens us all. And I want to salute them to the Chris Crockers, the Sissy Boys, the people who are being laughed at and ridiculed.
The Butch Dykes.
I love it.
Uh-huh. The Stone Cold Hot Butches. Mm-hmm.
The Stonewall Gays.
The Stonewall Gays to everywhere. And we're going to leave you with some music here. This is Astronauts of Antiquity. Their song Everywhere from their album Rocket Science for Dummies is available on our website, feastoffun.com.
Mm-hmm. Join us on Facebook. Look for us with the Feast of Fun group or the page. You get information different ways. From the group is through emails, and the page is through posts. And if you want to participate in some of our questions here on the show, make sure you join the page.
You can also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/feastoffun, for up-to-the-minute information and guests and news. Mm-hmm. And we want to thank our guests, Kat Jeffcoat. Kat, where can people learn more about LGBTI Health Summit and LCCP?
Well, they can go to lgbtihealth.org to learn more about the National LGBTI Health Summit, which is going to be happening August 14th through the 18th in Chicago this year. So join us for the fabulous August weather in Chicago, which I actually feel like we already have going on.
It'll either be super hot or it'll be totally rainy.
Yeah. And you want the super hot. That's the sad part.
And remember, we're going to be doing a live forum called Risky Business, going around the commodification of risk and sex, such as bareback porn, how that affects people's choices, relationships, and our intimacy. Is bareback porn a harmless fantasy for most consumers, or is it pushing more people to take more unnecessary risks? Or is it something in between? I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. I'd be fooled to think that I can do life. Can melt the stone everywhere. If I saw you everywhere, then I'd have no reason to fear.
little piece inspired me to sing. And I don't care if it's not cool or if it just ain't your thing. I've been around the block, you know, and this whole world seems so lost. You're the one I plug into to help my soul defrost. Everywhere, if I sigh,